It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Coming up on episode number 99 of Sports Day Plus. At 6:30, it's the first of a two-segment chat with comedian Paul Conyers ahead of his shows at Moon Tower Comedy Festival this weekend. And in mere seconds, I'm talking Longhorns, spring game, and more with Justin Wells of Inside Texas. I am your host, Trey Elling. You can give me a follow on Twitter at Courtesy Wave and do the same for ESPN Austin at 1027 ESPN. Well, it's a Wednesday, which means I get to spend a couple of segments with my buddy and one of the best in the business in terms of Longhorns insiders. It is Justin Wells of Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com, the Inside Texas YouTube channel. He can be found on Twitter at JustinWells2424 and heard on this very radio show Wednesdays, typically for a couple of segments. Justin, thank you as always for the time. How you doing today?
Man, it is absolutely beautiful outside. We got a spring game on Saturday. Nice little recruiting list coming in. I am doing dandy. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I don't want to jinx it for the spring game on Saturday, but the weather guessers here in Austin right now are predicting a lot of rain and a serious drop in temperatures. So I hope, as is the case most days, that they are very wrong with their prediction 3 or 4 days out.
Yes. I am not looking forward to that. I hope the weather is contributes a little bit more to a good day. We got a lot of that. Texas has a lot of recruits coming in. I think you could expect a lot of fans to this spring game compared to the ones in the last few years. There's some momentum there, and plus people get to see some more Arch Manning, get to see some of these freshmen that everybody keeps talking about. And so, yeah, I'm hoping the weatherman is wrong for a little bit. Just because we need a pretty day so that we can have a pretty outcome.
Assuming that the weather does hold and we get the spring game at 1 o'clock on April 20th, it is free to attend. They're going to do Bevo Boulevard beforehand. They've got the concert, the whole rigmarole, whole pregame rigmarole to go along with the glorified practice itself. You mentioned Arch Manning. What are some of the other most important things that you're going to be keeping your eyes on from the press box on Saturday at DKR?
The offensive line. I want to see what those rotations look like. We got a good idea what the first five are going to do, but what about the second five and how they mix and match those guys? Because I think Kyle Flood can go about eight deep. I think he's got a pretty deep bench for the offensive line. And when you're talking about injuries and repetition and rotations and things of that sort, that's a big benefit going into the SEC. I want to see how the linebackers are working. More so, the secondary is so talented. I want to see them working on a string. I felt like last year there was a lot of talent there, but sometimes some guys were in different spots in different areas. I think with the talent they brought in, plus the returners, Derek Williams another year, Michael Taff another year, and then the young guys like a Jelani McDonald, the portal guys like an Andrew Makuba, there's not so much a lot of questions back there, but there's things I want to see sort out in the secondary. Yeah. And then also who's gonna tote the rock the most? I feel like it's going to be a running back by committee, CJ Baxter, Jaden Blue, probably some Trey Wisner. If Blue and Baxter are thunder and lightning, maybe Wisner can be the hailstorm. And so I want to see how these carries are divvied up. I want to see kind of how those operate. But again, I want to see what Quinn looks like, see on his footwork. I want to see Arch Manning. He continues to get better day by day. Sark even mentioned him the other day in a practice. And there's a freshman at wide receiver named Ryan Wingo that Sark is smitten with, cannot stop bringing him up. We cannot stop hearing positive things about him from practice reports. So there's a little bit of everything that I need to get my eyes on Saturday.
Based on the conversations that you're having behind the scenes and considering that this is a brand new receiving core, now Jonte Cook was here last year, of course, so theoretically he's getting some passes from Quinn Ewers in practice and then a couple during the game as well. Who has established the best rapport with Quinn through these last 4 weeks or so of practice?
That's a great question. Isaiah Bond and Quinn have a good connection. They really do. Jonte Cook and DeAndre Moore by default, because they've had some familiarity with him and they kind of understand, where they need to be and what they're doing. The funny thing is that Arch Manning is the backup and he's had, tons of reps, even some with the ones. He's got a great rapport with Wingo. Mm. If you read practice reports and you see Ryan Wingo doing this or that, a lot of times it's coming from Manning. And so I think those two have built up a nice little rapport, but I would go with Isaiah Bond. You know, I think Matthew Golden's still, you know, plugging along. He's still going to be a guy in the rotation. He's still going to be a guy you can rely on. And then we're going to have to see what Silas Bolden brings when he gets on campus and arrives in June. But I think Isaiah Bond is going to be that guy, that go-to guy, that third down guy. He just has so much talent, so much skill. He's been there. He's got experience. And Quinn's got to find that one guy, that like A.D. Mitchell last year, where if it's third down, he knows where he's going with the ball, and that timing is in sync. And so I'd go with Isaiah Bond early on right now. And that could change. I think Ryan Wingo and Jonte Cook get in that conversation. And that's what's going to be different about this team compared to last year, where it was Mitchell Worthy with a little spice of JT Sanders. Now they've got four or five guys in that wide receiver rotation where throw to the open guy. Instead of it being one read and one play and one clear out, you know, hit the open guy. It's going to be interesting to see who he really bonds with.
How have the defensive ends looked through spring? Because obviously there are growing expectations that that is going to become a serious position of strength this upcoming season.
You know, Baron Sorrell has been steady. He always is. Ethan Burke has been good. You know, we've heard some stuff about Ethan Burke, and that's a guy that he's valuable, man, because he led the team in sacks last year. A lot of people don't know that. He was the team leader in sacks for the Longhorns with 5.5, and he's only getting stronger. And he's good at stopping the run. And so I think that's what makes him valuable there. And then when you bring those guys off and you bring on these edge rushers from Colin Simmons and Trey Moore, I think that's when you're cooking with gas. Because those guys, Trey Moore has been absolute hell to contain in practice. He's doing exactly what he did the first 2 years in San Antonio. He is so active. And so what I want to see is Colin Simmons against the run. What I want to see is Trey Moore against Cam Williams and Andre Kodjo and Trevor Goosby. I want to see how well they can stop the run, because we know what you have in Baron Sorrell. Solid as a rock. You're getting an idea of what Burke is as a player. Let's kind of see at the end of the day how that all comes together.
Thinking about the guys behind them, the linebackers, we know who two of the three likely starters are going to be at linebacker, with Anthony Hill and David Benda coming back for one more season. Who is that third linebacker right now, though?
Maurice Blackwell, more than likely.
Okay.
Blackwell is the one. They'd like Kendrick Blackshire to take it. He's still a little heavy. He gained a little bit of weight when he was in Alabama, and so he's still a little bit heavy. But I think Maurice Blackwell is the one that they're going to want to see the most out of. He's the hybrid guy that can play some linebacker, played some safety in high school. You know, was a special teams gunner there for his first couple of years. I think Blackwell is the one that you want to keep an eye on. But also Anthony Hill's backup, you know, Leona LaFau, that's a guy. That's an old school traditional inside linebacker with instincts and with just tough nosed and, you know, shoots gaps and doesn't get caught in the wash. And so while Mo Blackwell is going to hold down that third spot on first and second downs, I'm eager to see what LaFau looks like when Anthony Hill gets a breather off the field.
Has Anthony Hill taken to that new position pretty well through spring?
Yes, he has. Okay. People keep wanting to see Anthony Hill become this like big vocal leader. And what they don't understand is Anthony is not a vocal kid. One, he's one of the nicest, sweetest people I've ever met. He's an leader by example, by work ethic, because Anthony comes prepared every day. And once he straps, he snaps that chin strap, he's a different kid. And so I think you're going to see more of a leadership come out of him, but I don't think it's going to be in the vocal rah-rah manner. I think it's going to be more of getting people in assignments, getting everybody sound, getting everybody set in the right place before that ball gets snapped. To me, that's going to be the biggest jump for Anthony Hill taking over for Jalen Ford. We know what he can do athletically. We know what he can do sideline to sideline. But can he make sure everybody's getting in the right spots? If you've got him there and you've got a Jahde Barron at the star and the nickel right beside him, or even Barron playing safety, you got two guys there that I think can communicate and be those leaders on that side of the ball. Just don't expect Anthony Hill to be a big rah-rah guy.
He's Justin Wells of Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com, the Inside Texas YouTube channel. Coming up, we continue the conversation with some high school and portal recruiting and more right here on Sports Day Plus.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling. It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Back with Justin Wells of Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com, the Inside Texas YouTube channel. You can follow him on Twitter at JustinWells2424 and hear him on this radio show every Wednesday for a couple of segments. Today, it was at the start of the show. And Justin, we talked about spring game expectations last segment. This segment, we need to put a little bit more focus into what is going to be a big recruiting weekend upcoming. Big recruiting weekend last weekend. We have to start off with the Longhorns landing another player in that class of 2025 class. What can you tell us about linebacker Elijah Barnes?
Yes. So there are two main linebacker targets in DFW for Texas, Elijah Barnes and Riley Pettijohn. Now, Barnes and those guys are expected to take their official visits and then make their decision, you know, soon after July or August. Bo Barnes decided he was ready to jump in the boat. He didn't get it twisted. He was ready to shut it down. 6'2 and a half, 230 pounds, runs the anchor leg on the 4x1 for Skyline just so he can work. He knows he's not going to outrun the fastest guy, but he knows he can chase him. That's what he's going to do on the field. Everything about Barnes is tremendous from off the field, on the field. Good kid, smart, strong, athletic. He just decided to shut it down. I think that's significant because I think the other guy, Riley Pettijohn, that I mentioned, that's one that he's now watching for that spot because there's only a few spots there for linebackers in this cycle. And so Barnes got his. I think Nance, it would be the cherry on the cake, cherry on the sundae if he could get Pettijohn to jump in the mix as well. But Barnes just fast forward his timeline, similar to Ricky Stewart Jr. a couple weeks before after a scrimmage. Decided, you know, I was going to make my decision after these official visits, but I'm here and I like it and I want my spot. And he did the same thing. Lance Jackson did something similar in mid-January. There's no reason to screw around anymore. Go ahead and get your spot, lock it down, start recruiting for that class. And that's what Bo Barnes is going to do. And it just extends what Sark can do in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You know, bringing back Chris Gilbert to me was a huge decision. High school relations guy who's now an assistant in the recruiting department and personnel department. Bringing him back from North Texas, I think that's a guy that's really close to a lot of those guys. Elijah Barnes was one of those connections. And so give Sark and those guys credit. They identified Barnes very early. They started the foundation. They built the relationship. And at the end of the day, Barnes always wanted to go to Texas, and they wrapped him up.
I don't know how big of a deal this is or if it makes that much of a difference with what I'm about to reference here, but does committing a little bit earlier like this, where you're not even to your senior season yet, help you do a better job of planning, graduating at the end of next semester, at the end of that fall semester, to where you can become an early enrollee?
It can help you with planning. What it does is, well, one, it puts a target on your back because every school that recruit, other schools that recruit you are going to recruit against the school you committed to. But most of these kids want to commit before their senior year because they want to get their spot in case they get injured.
Sure.
And so that's why you see a lot of guys, you know, like with Barnes, I think he was just eager. I think that the writing's been on the wall and he just decided to go ahead and go with it. Pettijohn might be kind of similar as well. But these guys are going to commit early. If they want to enroll early, and what we've seen with Sarkisian is he recruits these guys that want to get out of high school quickly and get on campus as fast as possible. It does help you with the planning. It does because you want to be able to focus on taking the extra classes to get to that stage. It's not something that they can just do. The counselor just gives you. You got to put in some extra work to do that. And so it does help them from a standpoint of maybe I can enjoy my senior year now. Maybe I don't have to worry about coaches blowing me up, taking visits on Saturdays and Sundays when I'm already committed to a school, when I don't need to worry about travel on my dime. You know, things that there's probably 100 different reasons why it's a good thing. But really, I think in this day and age where high school recruiting is different now because of the portal, and it really changes how coaches view numbers and allotment of those 85 scholarships they have. I think with high school guys, the sooner the better. Because listen, the closer you get to October, November, December, the less the amount of spots there are. And there's an effect where it, you know, the lower level guys have a harder time getting on board. Those lower level guys might go from a Texas Tech Baylor type offer to a Texas State, Tarleton State, Abilene Christian type offer. And so recruiting has changed so much. I think it's in one idea. It's smart because it takes a lot of the pressure off the kid and the family. I've learned that a lot. It's not just the kid. Sometimes the family is struggling with these decisions. Mm-hmm. And when they go ahead and make the call, it's easier on the mom and dad as well. But yeah, it helps them plan that stuff out. But they've got work to do. When they want to enroll early, they need to not worry about where they're going to play football at the next level. They need to worry about getting out of high school early so that they can get to that program they commit to.
Gotcha. All right. We talked last week about the guys coming in this past weekend. And so I think we'll put a little bit more focus into the guys coming in this weekend, hopefully to get to watch the orange-white game. But if nothing else, get to hang around some of the players and coaches a little bit. Who are some of the biggest names that Longhorn fans need to know about in terms of guys coming to Austin for this April 20th weekend?
Well, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, I think that one of the bigger names, the biggest names like Zion Williams, big defensive tackle out of Lufkin, major, major priority, major must get. He was on campus 2 weeks ago. Great time with Kenny Baker and those guys. Knocked out about 6,000 calories in one setting. It was massive. Go to InsideTexas.com and you can read that menu. It was unbelievably ridiculous. James Simon, I love how he's trending with Texas right now. That's a tailback out of Shreveport in Calvary Baptist. LSU is in the mix there. He just came off a visit to Notre Dame. So I think that one is one Texas needs to watch because Jordan Davison's trending to Ohio State right now. And I know Choice and those guys want to get at least one more. John Turntine might be pound for pound one of the best prospects in the state for 2026. Offensive tackle out of North Crowley. Riley Pettijohn, we mentioned him earlier. He's going to be on campus. Another one that's pretty – I'm going to give you two that are really interesting. One is Keelan Russell. That's the quarterback out of Duncanville. He's committed to SMU, but he's starting to add some more offers, and his profile is starting to get a lot bigger. He was tremendous at the Under Armour Next Camp in Dallas last month. You really see the upside. The ball explodes out of his hands. He does a lot of things really well, and you're seeing his profile grow. Does Texas take two quarterbacks in 2025? That's where that question comes from. Not to mention Auburn and Alabama and Ole Miss are still coming at KJ Lacy, the commit for 2025 for Texas. So I think Keelan Russell from the high school side is maybe one of the most interesting that are going to be in. I know that Sark and Milwee have been talking to him of late. From the portal standpoint, Bill Norton's going to be on campus. That's the big 6'6", 325-pound Wild Bill defensive lineman out of Arizona. And he's a guy that I wouldn't be surprised if he follows Johnny Nansen and winds up, you know, shutting it down once he gets on campus. To me, that's a big one because Texas has made it very clear they want defensive linemen in this spring portal window. It's only open about 2 weeks, so and the supply will not meet the demand. I can tell you that right now. But getting Norton on campus right after he's hit the portal, I think is big. Those are the two I'm watching the most. James Simon is a guy I think could be on watch. Pettijohn is one that could be on watch. Getting Zion back is big. But Keelan Russell and the two quarterback class is something, it's really unique. And then getting Bill Norton on campus already is a big step.
All right, I'm going to read a headline for you now, Justin. This relates to the upcoming NFL draft. It starts next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. Talented wide receiver might be diva, comma, especially when hungry. There was a report that surfaced with Xavier Worthy earlier today talking about how he was a hard guy to coach, especially when his blood sugar is low. I mean, give me a freaking break, man. We covered this guy all last year. It's not to say he may not feel strongly about certain things at times, but to try and derail this guy's draft stock this close to things, it doesn't feel earnest, to say the least.
Yeah, you know, hit pieces, they're a unique type. I read that and I think, you know, who isn't grouchy when they're hungry?
Yeah.
And I think if you take out the diabetic part of it,
yeah,
that you just described half of the wide receivers that are going to get drafted, if not more. They've got some diva to them. I think people that follow football understand that.
You've described my entire household and none of us are as good as catching the football as A.D. Mitchell is.
Amen. We're at that stage right now, Trey. I hate it. We're at that stage where they've still got to post stuff before, yeah, you know, you're 8 days out. So you still got to post stuff. But you've said so many nice things about so many of these prospects. Now you got to find some stuff to ding them on. And it's just it's the nature of the beast. And I absolutely hate it. And so they decided to make AD Mitchell a scapegoat? And let's pick on the fact that he's diabetic and that if his blood sugar's low, that he gets cranky. Hey, I'm hypoglycemic. I have low blood sugar. You know what happens when I don't eat? I get grouchy. And I dang sure can't catch a football or run as fast as Adonai Mitchell. And so it's sad because that's the state of journalism in 2024, especially pre-draft. But here's the thing. AD Mitchell's going to go in the first round. He's going to go to a team. Whoever he goes to, they're going to be super excited, whether it's the Buffalo Bills or the Kansas City Chiefs or the Los Angeles Raiders – the Los Angeles Chargers, rather. Any of those teams will be excited. But, yeah, we're in a stage now, Trey, where they said so many nice things about him after that combine and so many nice things about him after the pro day that they, I guess they had to find something else to write. So they decided to pick on the fact that he becomes a little irritable when he doesn't eat, when his blood sugar's low. Guys, we got to be better.
God, you don't have to say ugly things about people just because there's more space to fill. And the best example of that is one of the best in the business, in my opinion. It's the guy I'm talking to right now, Justin Wells. Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com, the Inside Texas YouTube channel. He always brings the heat, and he does it with a level of positivity that I admire because I'm not always a positive guy. But I do love having these conversations with him each and every Wednesday. Make sure to give him a follow as well on Twitter at JustinWells2424. Justin, my friend, thank you as always for the time. Always a pleasure. Enjoy the spring game this week, and we'll talk next Wednesday. A little bit of spring game and then also a whole lot more NFL draft too.
Absolutely. Nothing but love, my man.
Coming up, it's the first of a two-segment conversation with stand-up comedian Paul Conyers ahead of his shows at Moon Tower Comedy Festival this weekend.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling. It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Paul Conyers is a stand-up comedian who's taking part in this year's Moon Tower Comedy Festival. Check out his work, including his new special, Should Have Stayed Downstairs, at his website, paulconyers.com. On the Moon Tower side of things, he's going to be at Cap City Comedy Club as part of the Nate Jackson and the Overlooked lineup at Cap City Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Tickets at capcitycomedy.com. And I need to warn you, we recorded this yesterday. Paul is a big-time Sacramento Kings fan, and when we started the conversation, he was not feeling so good about his team, who ultimately took care of business against the Warriors last night. Paul, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I am I'm doing okay. I'm a bit of a nervous wreck. I'm a diehard Sacramento Kings fan, and we have a loss to the Warriors coming up in about 8 hours. So just waiting for Steph Curry to take us behind the barn and shoot us again. And then I can finally get back to normal life.
That's right. We're recording this on Tuesday the 16th. It's going to air on Wednesday the 17th. But let's go ahead and start there because you've got a Kings jersey on.
Everyone's watching this. It's like watching a dead man that just doesn't know it yet.
I guess I should let people know right now that you are a former basketball player, played in high school, played in college a little bit, apparently trained with some future professionals as well, as our mutual friend let me know a few hours ago. So for people who are unfamiliar, what exactly was your basketball career, Paul?
So I played in college at the now closed Holy Names University. It was a lovely Catholic school on top of the hills in the nice part of Oakland that it closed down last year. Didn't know that schools could do that, but it's fine. I do comedy, so my communications degree was worthless anyway. But it would have been nice. It would have been just nice to know. I actually, weirdly enough, I didn't even play high school basketball. I kind of got into the sport. Like I was a big fan of it, watching it, but I didn't really get into playing it until like late junior year. And then I was like, man, I love this. So I just worked my ass off to try to try out for the team. I was like, I mean, I'm 6'7". So I had that. I was like, but in my senior year, I think it was like 6'5". I weighed about 12 pounds. So it was not like a good 6'5". You know what I mean? It was like a bend them in half kind of 6'5". Yep. If you have to. So I got cut, but I just kind of stuck with it. And yeah, I just like really loved the game, and I was playing 6-7 days a week. And then I got lucky. I got an offer from a couple spots, and Holy Names was like the best thing that could have happened to me. So
6'7", you could dunk pretty easily, correct?
I mean, you kind of have to, yeah.
Yeah.
I at this point, it's mostly physics. Like, there's not a whole lot of athleticism to it. If you can dunk at 6'7", I mean, your knees are either shot or, you should probably get some mobility going.
So you are 6'7", and that works to your advantage at certain times, but it also works to your disadvantage at other times. When is it the worst to be the tallest guy around, Paul?
I mean, like the every day of my life since I've quit basketball, it sucks, man. It's awful. 'Cause I mean, first of all, yeah. I mean, I would take your pick. Can't find clothes that fit. Got to get everything online. I mean, I always say like being really tall. It is like the lowest form of celebrity on the planet because people will stop me and like, I'm sorry, I hate to bother you, but did you play basketball? Blah blah. And then like, and then I have to like disappoint them. And they're like, whoa, did you play basketball? I was like, yeah, I played in college. They're thinking like Kentucky or some blue chip school. And I'm like, oh, I played at this NAIA school in Oakland that doesn't exist anymore. And they're like, what did I stop you for, man? I was like, I don't know. You stopped me. I didn't ask you to. Yeah,
What are
that
they, just pro athlete hounds or something? That's ridiculous.
is, it's very odd. It's very odd. And then like, people don't believe me. That's a weird one. Like they don't believe me, or they're like, you sure? You sure? And like I had a guy. I was at a show last week, and the guy was like, he's like, you're not real. Are you sure you're not 7'2"? I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm not 7'2". I don't play for the Suns, and I'm not deep in an IG model. I'm fairly certain I'm not 7'2". And then he like got out his driver's license. And he was like, see, it says I'm 6'8" and you're taller than me. I was like, dude, like you could say anything at the DMV. They do not care.
Oh, you had another fairly tall guy arguing with you about this.
Oh yeah. He was, he was a good like 6'4", 6'5". He wasn't 6'8". But
Right.
yeah, no, that's like, yeah, a lot of tall guys want to argue with me because I'm honest about my height and they're not. So like they'll like be with their girl or something and like you come on you at least 6'9" because I'm 6'4". I was like, buddy, you are not 6'4". Like I was like, lady, he's lying to you. He is full of shit. He's not 6'4".
So it's like
Yeah,
an
that's
it's like an extension of the big competition. It's big stature competition is
yes,
what it
it, yeah,
is.
it's big height energy, man. It's so weird, It's like, yeah, I see why DeSantis wears those shoes now. It's becoming clearer and clearer every day.
So the worst that I feel for tall people when I see them out and about and them being an unintentional burden on everybody else is at concerts. Because unless you stand at the back of the room, you're going to be
Yeah.
pissing at least one or two people off who can't see the stage as a result of you just trying to enjoy the show.
Yep. I just stopped going. it's fine. I'll just play it on my iPhone. It's just as good. Yeah, no, unless I'm at like an amphitheater where it's like a hill where the people above me are like, yeah, then it's like, I don't even want to go. I don't even want to bother you. So,
Oh, that's such a bummer.
it is. And like, yeah, sometimes I like crouched down one time, but I was like, this isn't fun for me. I'm here to see the Backstreet Boys, damn it. So, I just had to go for it.
Gives you
But yeah.
PTSD of having to get back into defensive stance during college and
Yeah,
high school
exactly.
practice.
Dude, yeah, I know. I mean, that's a cool thing. You get a good quad workout, at the concert. You're just like standing in the defensive stance the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. So, you are Bay Area based now, but I heard you say in another interview that the first time you performed out of state was here in Austin. And I think you said that back in 2019 or 2020. So, what were the circumstances surrounding you leaving Cali to come perform stand up here in Austin, which in the last couple of years, of course, has become a sort of stand up mecca in this country
Yeah,
and on the planet?
no, I really had my finger on the pulse. I just knew that it was coming. No, I honestly like that was when I did stand up like right out of college like two times. I had like the worst bombing of my life, and so I quit. I don't know if
So
you
this
can
was
call
back in 2010, right?
it back in 2010. Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
know if you can call it quitting after two shows. Anyway, I had the worst night of my life, bombed my absolute ass off in front of 400 people. And then, yeah, so I quit for 6 years, kind of got back into it. And
Hold
then,
on one sec. 600 people, you said? 400? Yeah, were you opening for somebody big at like Cobb or something? I don't even know. Cobb, that may be more people than Cobb holds.
Cobbs could hold. I think when the balcony's open, it could hold like 400. I think this was at the San Jose Improv. So okay. I did this new talent showcase at this other club here in the Bay called Rooster Teeth Feathers, and it went well. And then this like friend of a friend knew this really great comic who's now a good friend of mine and a mentor. His name is Kabir Singh, and he's done a bunch of amazing things. He's killing it all over the country, but he's just also the nicest guy ever. So this friend told him like, oh, you should put this new guy on. And he was like, yeah, sure. Come to the Improv. Like, I'm doing a show. And I went, it was just, the moment was just way, way too big for me. I bombed my ass off, did everything wrong you could have possibly done. That's a whole 20 minute diatribe. But
were you trying new material? You weren't going with the material that got you there?
Did all new stuff. Did all new stuff. Didn't go to a mic between the two shows that I'd been on. Just thought I was hot. I thought, you know, since I crushed the first show, you know, that I was just like God's gift to comedy. So I just thought I'd go up there and like just kind of wing it, you know, just have fun. And no, actually, ironically, this was in October of 2010. And it was game two of the Giants World Series against the Rangers.
Yeah.
They were playing while I was on stage. And I mean, I'm just like bombing my absolute ass off. Nothing is working. And then people started getting alerts on their phones that the Giants had actually won the game, like in the moment, like while I was on stage. So people like someone stand, Giants won. Everyone's like high-fiving and hugging and stuff. And they're having a great time. And then they slowly like remember that like I've created this like hell for them. And they're like, oh God, that's right. He's here. And so they had to like kind of like calm down and then I just had to continue bombing for like another 5 minutes or something.
Oh my God. That must've been going in slow-mo for you at a certain point.
It was. I actually, at one point, this is just the coup de grace, just the absolute icing on the cake was, I actually stepped on the mic cord and kicked it out from the microphone. And I've never plugged a microphone obviously now, like if you've done it now, you can do it in your sleep. You can just line up the three prongs, you press the button, you know, whatever. But this may as well have been like, you know, programming a space shuttle. And so I was just like, my hands were trembling. I mean, I remember it taking about 40 minutes. I think it took about 12 seconds or something. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, it literally could not have gone worse. That was enough to make me quit for 6 years. So
that'll do it.
So yeah, then I kind of got back into it. And actually on my first night back, I ran into Kabir at the mic that I went to. And I was like, you don't remember me, but 6 years ago, you invited me to a show. I bombed my off. And he was like, oh, well, hey, he's like, I'm doing this Halloween show here. It's going to be packed. If you can go to 5 open mics between now and then, I'll put you on the show. And I'd already planned to go out to visit our mutual friend, Robbie, in Texas. So I was like, all right, I'll go to open mics in Austin. So yeah, that was like the first time that I did comedy outside of California was at some mics in Austin.
Interesting. Hold that thought because I want to talk a little bit more about your experience of doing stand-up in Austin here on the other side. He is Paul Conyers, California-based stand-up comedian, Bay Area-based stand-up comedian, who's going to be here in town this weekend at Moon Tower Comedy Festival. Shows at the Vulcan Gas Company on Friday night and Saturday night. The show I'm going to be at is Nate Jackson and The Overlooked. That is the name of the show at Cap City Comedy Club. It is a 10 p.m. show. You can go to capcitycomedy.com to snag the tickets that remain. Coming up, one more segment with Paul Conyers here on the other side, right here on Sports Day Plus.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling. It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Final segment with comedian Paul Conyers. He is going to be here in town this weekend for Moon Tower Comedy Festival. That includes a show at Cap City Comedy Club on Saturday night at 10 p.m. He is a part of the lineup for Nate Jackson and The Overlooked. You can go to capcitycomedy.com to snag tickets. You check out his work at paulconyers.com. That includes his new stand-up special, Should Have Stayed Upstairs. And Paul, we were just talking about the time you spent in Austin a few years ago, jumping around from open mic to open mic. Do you remember the places you were hitting up at the time?
Yeah.
Even though Austin has gone to a different level because of Rogan's Place and the Helium people coming in and doing a great job of reopening Cap City, Austin always has been a good comedy town. It's always had that reputation with national comedians. It's a great place to come do stand up.
Yeah, no, it has. So I knew I wasn't going to Omaha, Nebraska or something. Like I knew there was an actual scene there. So yeah, no, I went to, I think it's called Cherrywood
Tavern.
Yeah, I think that's it. I did that one, Kick Butt Coffee. I remember that. Actually, I can tell you exactly where I went because I keep a log of every stand-up set I've ever done in my life. So I can, if I just go back to the very beginning, Cherrywood, Kick Butt Coffee. Do you guys have something called Stomping Grounds? Is that you guys?
Yeah, it's funny because there are a lot of comedy open mics that even, again, prior to the last 2 or 3 years that were happening in coffee shops. I don't know if that's the thing everywhere, but here a lot of coffee shops do the open mic thing and it turns into a stand-up comedy jam.
Yeah. They do. I don't know about Austin, but like in the Bay Area, anytime there's like an open mic and it, you know, they want like music and spoken word and poetry and comedy, like the 40 comics descend on it. And so they're like, all right, 4 comics per show. Cause we just like ruin it and take it over with our unfunny. Do we really want
somebody doing spoken word instead of somebody rolling out material that's not that funny? I would rather watch somebody bomb than somebody taking themselves entirely too seriously, Paul.
That's a fair point. That's a good question. Like, what would you rather see? Like really comedy or just really, really like boring spoken word, someone that's taking themselves way too seriously. I don't know. I mean, I'm inclined to say I want to watch bad comedy, but even me, like after like the 10th dude doing like an eating joke, that's just not landing, you're like, whoa, you guys too sensitive. I mean, that's always fun. And it's like, yeah, it's their fault, dude.
Oh God, I was at one of those. This is a few years ago, and it was somebody who had no business opening for some other comedians. Mm-hmm. She was like, "What? Too soon? Too soon?" I'm like, "No, nobody understood your reference. You just went way too esoteric for even the supposed smartest person in the room, dumb."
Yep. Exactly. No, there. You know, we have a thing called bombing with dignity. You know, you're gonna bomb, but you need to do it with grace. And not blame the audience and just take your licks, you know? It's like when you, like a batter strikes out for the 4th time in a game, he doesn't, you know, like if you throw your bat in the crowd, he's like, I couldn't even see the baseball with the pitcher, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, dude, no, you had a bad game.
Own it.
Steph has bad games. We all, it happens to the best of us.
So you get back into stand-up in 2016. Here we are, almost a decade later, 8 years later, and you're taking part in Moon Tower Comedy Festival, doing something at Vulcan Gas Company on Friday night. Robbie and I have actually seen a show there before. And then Saturday, are going to be at the completely revamped Cap City, which I believe you were at last fall, too. So you're familiar with those surroundings. I'm excited because I'm going
to
be in
Cap City, actually.
What's that?
Cap City. The only one I was at Cap City like back in 2017, just at their open mic. And I think that was a different location, right?
It was a different location. Where were you in the fall though? Cause I remember Robbie talking about going to see you perform.
I did a couple shows at Creek in the Cave.
Okay.
And then, and then I did Cherrywood again, which actually was just kind of cool. Cause it was like, you know, wow, I haven't been, you know, this is like the first place I did like an open mic out or a show outside of California. And now I'm back, did equally bad, weirdly enough, but, and Roscoe's Comedy Club, which was like a much smaller club downtown. But it was still fun. We still had a good time. So yeah, just a couple spots like that.
What'd you think of Creek in the Cave? I call that the CrossFit gym of comedy clubs in Austin.
Yeah. I mean, I love the space. I really do. I saw Gillis's YouTube special there, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. We had a slightly smaller audience than he did. To put that kindly.
Dude, those audiences get weirdly small. I've seen absolute killers come through town. Sean Patton, Steve Byrne. Some other people like that should be able to sell out at least 3/4 of that cavernous feeling room. and it's not even half full. The audiences are typically still really good. They obviously want to be there if they're going to sit in a crowd like that and pay for a professional to tell jokes. But I can't get a good pulse on what does it for that room, other than if like a Segura or a Gillis or a Hinchcliffe or somebody like that shows up there. I think it's going to be a pretty good crowd for the Cap City show on Saturday. It is Nate Jackson's Overlooked. You're a part of the bill. And Nate is, I don't know if he's going to be introducing everybody, but he's obviously going to finish the night off as well. Is Nate somebody that you knew previously, or is this just a matter of Moon Tower pairing you guys up together?
Yeah, never met him. Actually, so my home club in Sacramento, Laughs Unlimited, my favorite place to do comedy on the planet, the owner actually gave Nate my contact info. So he reached out to me. I was actually working a cruise ship. I have no idea how the call came through because I was in the middle of the ocean. And he was like, yeah, it's Nate Jackson. I was like, oh, and he was like, you booked on April 20th? And I was like, yeah, man, I'm supposed to be on the East Coast for some shows. And there was like a pause. And he was like, are you sure you can't cancel that? You know, he was kind of like, dude, this is a very big deal that I'm inviting you to. And I was like, yeah, all right, I'll make it happen. So, and it was fine. Once I told the club that it was, you know, Moon Tower and it was Nate Jackson, they were like, yeah, okay, you got to go to that.
So you are a 49ers fan, as we talked about at the very beginning of this conversation. Y'all come just short from winning another Super Bowl this year. Unfortunately, Pat Mahomes is Pat Mahomes, even if the Chiefs don't seem like they're that good in a given season. Are you convinced that Brock Purdy is y'all's guy, is the guy who can and will lead you to the promised land before it's all said and done?
I am. I mean, first of all, you know, elite QBs, they don't like grow on trees. You know, like all year, all the stupid pundits in the morning shows, like, yeah, but is he Patrick Mahomes? It's like, no, and no one else is. So what do we all do? Do we all just like quit because we don't have Pat Mahomes? So, I mean, he's not that. I get that. I mean, and I don't know if, you know, 10 years down the road, he's ever going to be in the conversation of the Pat Mahomes or Tom Brady's or anything. But no, I think that the growth that he showed this year was fantastic. I think that the stats bear out that he's more than just working with some amazing talent around him, which he is, you know, for sure. But, you know, I made a video, this reel that just kind of satirized the hate that guy gets, where it was like, you know, like no other player or no other quarterback has receivers that run after the catch. You know, it just like every time like a player would do something good, they'd be like, see, that's why. It's like, okay, well, you know, I'm sorry that CMC doesn't like collapse onto the ground after he catches the ball. Like if he runs for an extra 15 yards, you know, that's fine. But yeah, no, I like him. I think he's great. I mean, it's great when you got a guy that's got a great head on his shoulders. Like, you know, you're just never going to deal with any nonsense from this guy. I'll knock on a big old piece of wood there, because I was the one campaigning to trade our draft picks to get Deshaun Watson a few years ago. And so I'm glad that did not work out. But
there's
there's so many
San Francisco, though, Paul.
I know, you know, that's funny. It's like the Giants are like, man, we can't get anyone to come play for us because the stigma about San Francisco. Dude, Deshaun Watson would probably come here as a backup. I think he would come here on a discount, man. If we send him into the heart of San Francisco to the massage parlors in Chinatown, I mean, that dude could, you know, he could clean up pretty well.
He'd probably be willing to do some human excrement tracking for the online map that warns people of where the most human is in the city.
Exactly. Which I hear, you know, some parts of Austin, you guys are trying to make your own way too.
It gets a little bit ugly at times. And city officials several years ago did try and send us straight down the San Francisco Portland route. But even liberal progressive Austin, when given the opportunity on a ballot, which required a bunch of signatures for them to be able to vote on, when they had the opportunity to overturn that and say, actually, this is bad for everybody, from those who are homeless to those who are tax-paying citizens who are trying to do things right. This sucks for everybody except for you city officials. You just get to sit there and throw your hands up and say, "Welp, we're trying to give outright freedom here." Even liberal Austin overturned that. So it certainly has its ebbs and flows, but it's thankfully not heading down the road of the Seattle's, Portland's, and San Francisco's, and I guess Los Angeles's too.
All right. Well, that's good. If you can keep your head above water, then that, or I don't know if water is the element that you're trying to avoid, but if you can do that, then good.
All right, Paul. So people can check you out at Vulcan Gas Company on Friday, Cap City Comedy Club on Saturday. It's a 10 p.m. show with Nate Jackson, and they can connect with you on social media and watch your most recent special at your website, paulconyers.com. The new special is Should Have Stayed Downstairs. It is through open bar comedy. And thank you so much for the time today, and safe travels to Austin here in the next couple of days.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Yeah, look forward to seeing you at the show. Thanks for having me.
That is it for another edition of Sports Day Plus. Stay tuned tomorrow. The conversation includes the very funny Brad Williams ahead of his Moon Tower comedy show on Friday night at the Paramount. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening to today's show. Talk to you tomorrow starting at 6. In the meantime, have yourselves a great rest of the evening and hook 'em.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elliott.